Hello and welcome to Launch Left Podcast. Today is our 150th episode. Yay! Woo! Confetti, balloons, woohoo! And a exceedingly very special guest, the Honorable Jonathan Richman, is on the show today. And he'll be launching Jesse De Natale. For those of you who don't know Jonathan Richman, well, go and do your homework because you will be very happy to have met him and find out who he is and has been to so many of your heroes throughout the years. Jonathan Richman, yes. Now, I gotta say, for this episode, it takes a lot of patience and it takes a village. So I want to give special thanks to Ana Diaz for connecting Jonathan and I, Rich Tupica and Lori Parker for contributing questions, and especially Jeff Ryan for animating the pencil drawing Jonathan drew of himself. More on that in a little bit. Okay, so I'm guessing some of you remember when Jonathan came through Los Angeles pretty recently. And I called him before he left Chico, seeing if when he was in LA, maybe we could get together and he could come on the podcast. And here is his response. But wait, don't forget, rate and subscribe. Follow us on all socials at Launch Left.
Hi, Rain. It's Jonathan. Hi, we'll get together one of these days. This time it'll be way too hectic because we'll only be in the whole town of LA for just a few hours total, including the show just about. So, nah, that won't happen. Also, I don't got laptops. I don't have things like that. But we'll do something. I could mail you a postcard, and you could recite it on the air. That's what to do. I know. Okay, write out questions, and I'll answer them. I'll mail them to you, and then you can read them and talk in a low voice, and people will think you're me. Go, hi, I like this, and I don't like that. So we could make this work fast and easy. Okay, truly. Okay, bye.
So, while I really liked Jonathan's suggestion, I was pretty sure listeners would not want to hear me do my best Jonathan Richman impression. So, I suggested a different idea, and he agreed that we could do the whole podcast as a Q&A via voicemail. So, the first question I asked was, how did music find you?
Hi, Jonathan Richman here, answering Rain's question, how did music find me? Well, and that's the way it was. I didn't choose it. It chose me. First of all, when I was about 2 or 3 years old, I heard like parents were playing something on the radio. I think Bizet by Carmen or Carmen by Bizet. Anyway, some stuff like that that I heard and went instantly. It affected me. And then I heard Why Do Fools Fall in Love as a 5-year-old or 6-year-old on the radio and things like Little Richard. And then finally, The Lovin' Spoonful, that made a gigantic impression. And then The Velvet Underground. And I managed to see them in Boston and hear the sound live. And when it did, music found me because I painted and drew all the time first. And then when music hit, I heard it in a lot of different colors. I heard The Velvet Underground in a lot of dark ochre and black, shiny black colors, and also canary yellow colors and different shades of orange and red. Many different things I heard in them. And then, so I picked up a guitar and started to play, but started to think playing in terms of colors. I didn't know many notes and nor many chords. And that's how music found me.
And my next question was, do you have any advice for young musicians or artists of any kind?
Hey, Rain, it's Jonathan, trying again with advice to young musicians or young artists in general. First, do what you like for you. Don't worry about what the audience is going to like. If they like it, fine. If they don't, that's no problem. Just tell the truth. Also, you need much less equipment than you think you do. If you're saying, oh, we can't do it until we have this new piece of equipment, nah, you can do it. I'll have more later, but that's a start. Bye.
And then I left him another message to see if he'd be up for us animating a photograph or finding a way to create kind of an animation out of some of his voiceovers. Here's his response.
Hi, Rain. It's Jonathan again. One thing I remembered that you asked is about like a photo and using it. Like, why don't I make a drawing of myself? And then the guy could animate that with little mouth moving. How about? I'll make a little self-portrait thing and send it off. Bye.
And then I asked, what are the enduring preoccupations that arise again and again? Threads you can see across the whole span of your life, maybe even from childhood?
Hello, Rain. It's Jonathan. Oh, as far as the question of what has stuck with me, I've been thinking about that. What has stuck with me, maybe as much as anything else from childhood, is, get ready, color combinations. They're some of my earliest memories and some of the strongest memories, and they still are strong now. For example, when I see like white with a light Greek blue, you might call it, lighter than an ultramarine blue, there was this company, Dixie Cups, made white cups in the 50s with a dark green, like a pine green trim. That stuck with me and still sticks with me, things like that. Also, there was this other company that made white cups. I forget the name of their company, but they had this like light blue against the white. This affects me big. I see music chords and sometimes in these colors and stuff. In fact, my music publishing company is named Turquoise on White Music, because a lot of times color and music for me, well, it's how I sort of play. So I would say color combinations. One of the first memories I had as a 2 or 3 year old, I saw, I think, a Mercedes Benz or some car come down the street, and it was like an industrial gray green against black trim, maybe. Those things stick with me. All kinds of other things, but that's enough for this one. Okay, bye.
The next time I called, I wanted to know about the origin of his love of Nolan Strong and the Diablos song, The Wind.
Hi, Rain. It's Jonathan. Well, all right. So I've got my drawing, my self-portrait that like your friend can animate. So anyway, as far as The Wind, you ask, by Nolan Strong and the Diablos. Yes, one of my favorite pieces of music. I heard it for the first time on an oldies radio show when I lived in Boston. Little Walter was a disc jockey, Little Walter's Time Machine, and I got much of my music from that show, like everything from Louis Lyman and the Teen Chords, more Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers that people hadn't heard so much, The Students, all these terrific groups from the 50s. And then there was Nolan Strong and the Diablos. And when I heard The Wind with its tremolo guitar in the beginning that sounded like a harp, it was so haunting. And I love The Wind. There's also other good versions of that, but to me, the original by Nolan Strong and the Diablos. And I have a good friend named Alan Mason, who's been in the music business for many years, and I've known him since I was in my early 20s. And I ask him, about things like this whenever I have a question about music and rock and roll, because he knows so much and loves it. And so he helped me. He got me in touch with the people at Fortune Records, the Brown family, who produced and put out this music, and so I got to know them, and they've been wonderful people. And I love Nolan Strong and the Diablos, and the colors they get, the beautiful sounds, the beautiful voices. And so, yes, I love The Wind.
Okay, so I was a little shy to ask this question, full disclosure, but it proved to be just the kind of question he wanted to answer. As a matter of fact, I'd say it was the subject of at least three more calls from him. I asked, what is the purest form of eroticism for you? Not necessarily sexual, but could be, or a visual or aural spark that lights up your life force or erotic excitement. Here's his answer.
Rain. Hi, it's Jonathan. That's a great question about Eros. In the purest form of Eros, that's a great thing to ask someone. Okay, I'll tell you a story. Way back when I had Michael Guardabasio in my band and we were drumming, we were setting up at soundcheck at this club in Minneapolis, St. Paul. There was sometimes a strip club for males. It was like for both ways. There was later that night, there was going to be like those male Chippendale type dancers who dance around in their G-strings. And there were some women there already early, you know, when we were setting up, there were some women like we're going to be there later for the show. And music came on over the PA. We were setting up our gear. And I just danced, and I was sort of like, I was dancing for the women a bit, like with all clothes on and everything. And it was just funny. Like, and I was joking with them. And the bar manager took it seriously and said we could, you know, go like and be part of the dance crew later if we wanted to. My initial thought was, if this wasn't erotic enough with clothes on, nothing, any clothes off would just cheapen it and wouldn't make it any more erotic. To me, dance itself is pure that. And also, there was a friendliness to it this way that wouldn't have been there with clothes off, because people are scared. Like, I think of the reason an orgy looks good on paper and sounds great reading about it in a novel, but if you've been to one, might not work quite as good, is because when partly strangers to each other are there with their clothes off, now they're scared, now they're insecure, and you got to relax. what do? You take a drink? Except then you're numbing stuff that has to be very sensitive to really feel anything. To me, pure Eros has to start with feeling. I mean feeling of the heart. Feeling of the body is secondary to me. And if I was going to think erotic colors, it wouldn't be stuff like black, shiny black, or black and orange combination so much as it would be like sky blue, like that deep sky blue would be in there, aqua white and lavender maybe with black trim, chartreuse, like a green chartreuse yellow. Like those are the sort of the ways that I feel Eros in a pure way. My vocal coach, like in Hindustani music, not a coach, she was actually a professor who taught, and she's passed on now. I took a lesson from her. She was in her 80s. This was about several years ago, six years ago. And she sang a scale for me to imitate. And the way she vibrated the notes was so erotic and naturally flirtatious, not seductive, but flirtatious. It was like clear that there was no, like, she was a very monastic person, and seriously so. But it was so wildly erotic. It was one of the most erotic experiences I've ever had. Just and without any. It was not seduction or anything. It was just wildly life erotic. I can't even quite, I'm not doing it quite justice, but she just smiled a little and did these vocal, sa re sorry. And I can't do it at all. I'm not doing anything like what she did. But the way she just played with sound was that thing. Yours truly, Jonathan.
So he called back again to try to clarify the Chippendales night and what eroticism means to him, and also remember better the details. Here it is.
Rain, it's Jonathan again. That story I was telling you and the listeners before about setting up early our gear at that nightclub somewhere in Minnesota back in the 1980s, when I would have been, I guess, in my early 30s or late 20s. And I'm thinking, did music come on through the house speakers and then me dance like I remembered it? Because that would have been totally in character. And I wouldn't have danced to try and be like one of those Chippendale dancers, because I actually don't think that is erotic, because you're trying too hard and you're showing off all your junk and everything. Like, to me, that's not the deal. To me, erotic stuff, if it happens, happens without trying to be sexy or anything. It happens just because you dance to music naturally, men or women. It's just natural. But I'm trying to get this story straight. Did I really dance, or did I just, did these women were there for early, and the guy behind the bar said they're here for some Chippendale-like show of male dancers later, and then him offer us a chance to strip down at the G-strings and do it, and dance if we wanted to. I forget if I had already danced to music before he said that. In any case, I was not intrigued by the offer, because to me, as I said before, to me the real, if you got something, it's there with all your clothes on, and you don't need to take them off.
And then one more time he called back on the subject of eroticism to share about seeing his first Iggy Pop show, and to get even more detailed on his meaning of eroticism in its purest form.
Hi, it's Jonathan one more time. You know, let me see, a few more things to say. The thing about Eros and pure Eros and erotic stuff. When I first saw The Stooges with Iggy, he was as much of a dancer as he was a singer. And it inspired me as a teenager. I was about 18 or 19 when I saw them, 18. I said, how cool to just dance like that. Because it wasn't dirty what he did. It was alive. It was just free and loose and beautiful to watch. Not that he wasn't an exhibitionist, because he was. But I was imagining, when I started being a musician around that age and think of putting a band together, I thought of how cool it would be to just have a job in some shopping center somewhere, just dancing for women all day long. I had that, something in me was like that. And I had nothing, incidentally, for my last conversation, I don't want it to seem like I ever thought I had anything special to show off, as we say, if I'm making myself clear. It was just more erotic intent than anything else, nothing bodily. The Eros I felt when I danced was not of the body so much. It was of the soul. And that's where I feel Eros, when I feel it. Like, at my best. And that's what music is for me. Lots of music is erotic that way. In a real, as the woman asked, in a pure way. Yeah, in a pure way. More than I can. Music of India has a lot of that for me. A lot of some flamenco music has that. Lots of music, though, more than I can even say. Certainly loads of rhythm and blues. But, yeah, I think whoever asked the question was on the right track. The stuff, the way to do it is when they say pure, that's how it is. Nothing trying too hard, nothing overtly sexy, just like sort of just feelings as they are, like that music or that certainly that another person can give you. You'll feel it, hopefully, in your heart first. I think that about does it. A lot of what I just said was disjointed, and if it doesn't make perfect sense, please forgive me. And if it's sort of contradictory, please forgive that, because I'm just getting out thoughts, and I'm not sure exactly how to put some of this stuff. So some of it might not be exactly right, but that's what I got for now.
So then I called a few times and didn't hear back from him. I think it went on, I think it was over a month. And then one morning I woke up to this message.
Hey, Rain, it's Jonathan. No, I haven't forgotten about you. I just got your messages. I was away for a month. It's just that I went away and was on a plane and stuff and didn't have time to phone them in. But I'll get back on it. You know, I'm getting more and more solidly against podcasts because I figure what I've heard is that the internet is so clouded with stuff that it's everything's overloaded. But I'm going to do this last one, but this is probably like the last thing like this I'll do. Anyway, I do have a recommendation for someone, and so I'll get that, and there's a certain even specific song, and then it's on cassette, and I can't find where anything is. But anyway, good things will happen. Bye.
So I have to say that this exchange with Jonathan was one of my favorites to date. Like this conversation, I don't know, even though it was unconventional, just like I like it, it was one of my favorites to date. And I'm so grateful to everyone who contributed to it. Chris, Rich, Lori, Jeff, you know who you are. Okay, so here's Jonathan Richman's final phone message where he shared the name of the artist he wants to launch. Stick around immediately following. I will ask a few questions of said artist. Thank you. Have a great day.
Hi, this is Jonathan. Okay, so the artist I'd like to tell people about is a guy named Jesse DiNatale, D-E, then capital N-A-T-A-L-E, Jesse DiNatale. And he made a record on Blue Arrow Records, the same record company I'm recording for, and it's called The Hands of Time. And some of the melodies are really dreamlike and light. And check out Stop This World. That's one title. And Love Is. That might be the one with us. Well, they've got this light dream touch to them. See what you think. Oh, and he sings real good. Okay, and that's also ta-da. All right. Bye.
Welcome to Launch Left, Jesse DiNatale. We're so happy to have you here today.
It's nice to be here. I'm really happy to be here. I'm really grateful to be here. And we were going to talk about my new record, or it's already a year old, but it didn't really get spread around too much. I didn't go out and play these songs, and but it's called The Hands of Time. And I listened this morning to your song, Time is a Killer. Mm. Is that right? Yeah. What a beautiful song. Really, really beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it very much. And yeah, that aspect of time was a provocative place to start working on this record, and it showed up in every song pretty much that I had been writing, but it really comes from a place of gratitude, of at least in this one, and of looking at time and going, how marvelous that I, how incredible that I made it this far and this many great things happened in my life. And let me shake the hands of time. thank you kind of thing. So that's the and also I wanted a summer record, a record that that centered around the summertime. And I think I got that too.
Well, I personally really like that it's called The Hands of Time. And you started by saying, well, now it's nearly a year old. But I think on behalf of The Hands of Time and the nonlinear truth that is time and the unreality that actually is quote-unquote time, this is a brand new record to us, and it's a brand new record to anyone who hasn't heard it. So we're just happy to know about you as an artist, to begin to explore your music, and to have the opportunity to hear Hands of Time, thanks to Jonathan Richman, who made a point to tip his hat your way as an artist to watch. So we're just glad to have you on the show. I really don't have any questions because you just shared so much about the record, which is what I wanted to hear more about. I always have one question. I'll ask this one question because I do think it's a curiosity I have for all artists, which is, how did music find you? How did it first find you as an expression? Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. I like it for a couple of reasons. One is I come from a musical family. There was a lot of music in my house. They weren't professional musicians, but they appreciated music very much. And so there was always music on, or they were playing music, playing along with music, with hand drums and in a joyous way. And so there was that. And then there was also Billie Holiday in the house too, which is a different kind of still soulful music, but I wouldn't call it joyous. And that was in the house. But really, when I was thinking about it, one of the first things that where music really truly found me was when I was a little boy in school and in kindergarten, I believe, and the teacher had us all sit in a circle and she taught us to sing Oh, What a Beautiful Morning from the musical Oklahoma. And to be like a five-year-old sitting with a bunch of other 5 and 6-year-olds, I was floored by the melody and by the experience of just all of a sudden the air in the room changed. And I said, oh, this is music. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. And, you know, and it had a good lyric to it too, you know, like a real positive,
yeah, my dad used to sing me that song. I've got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
Love yeah.
So great. Yeah.
That's what hit me, I think, you know, and it caused me to be sing-songy and to, you know, sing wherever I was and, you know, walking. It's like a real comfort. And I think, and this idea that music finds you, I think in songwriting and in song creation and music, you know, that there's a saying that the first inspirations are kind of given from the gods, you know, that first idea. And then it's up to us to go ahead and create the brothers and sisters, the verses that can equal that can, you know, stand with that kind of music. And I've always thought that's really quite profound, and it's almost like the music finds us first and then we join in.
That was such a cool story. It's wild to always hear that first moment for people where that light goes off, you know, and music becomes part of like who they are, gets in. Music gets in. Well, can you share with us how we can find you out in the virtual world or
The
good old fashioned world?
So yeah, jessiedinatale.com, and you can go to the Instagram account from there, and Jessie DiNatale Music, and
Great. That helps so much for people to be able to find you and listen to you. I assume you're on all streaming platforms right now as well.
Yeah, right.
Great.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
The record's on Bandcamp, and I encourage people to go there because the artists make some money there.
Exactly.
And the label is Blue Arrow Records in Cleveland. And happens to be Jonathan's label too. And yeah, I want to thank you for doing this, you know, promoting artists. And yeah.
Yay. Well, thank you so much. And now all of you watching and listening, go listen to Hands of Time. Is that what it's called? Did I do it right?
Yeah, the Hands
of Time. Jesse De Natale, yeah. The Hands of Time. Go get it on Bandcamp right now. Buy it, stream it, love it. Thank you, Jesse.
Thank
you,
Rain.
Nice to meet you here.
Nice to meet you. I'll see you again.
Okay. Have a great day.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Sometimes you just want to jump right in. It's how you learn to swim. You step inside where the idea lives, before you step out on a limb. And something happens when you wait around for two words to rhyme. I like to shake the hands of time. I knew a girl in Albuquerque, wore a heart round her neck. What a sweet young woman she turned out to be. You might have seen her at the discotheque. How do the moon and stars collaborate? Create a story so fine. I like to shake the hands of time. I don't wanna believe it. I kick myself and I still can't see it. I don't ever wanna let you go. You're the money and you're the hope. You're the coolest dude. You're the monkey playing on the rope. You're the king of attitude. I follow you and I wonder all about how do you stay in your prime. I like to shake the hands of time. I'm sitting by the side of the stream, watching the fish swim by. Round and round the earth like a dream, with a hello and goodbye. Sometimes it seems all out of control, and then it seems sublime. I like to shake the hands of time. Here we go. I don't wanna believe it. I kick myself and I still can't see it. I know I don't ever wanna let you go. Sometimes you just wanna jump right in. That's how you learn to swim. Step inside where the idea lives, before you step out on a limb. And something happens when you wait around that makes it all right. I like to shake the hands of time. I like to shake the hands of time. I like to shake the hands of time. Yeah. happy you could be here. Oh, yeah. Take a seat.
Launch Left aims to create an intentional space that highlights and empowers all artists for whom radical creativity is not a choice, but a necessity. Launch Left begins with music, but its ultimate aim is to launch left-of-center artists in all creative fields.